141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. It's another positive result for Scotland in World Cup qualifying, but Steve Clarke says it's as disappointed as he's felt in his 72 matches in charge. The hunt for the next Rangers manager continues after Steven Gerrard pulled out the race at the weekend, and could Kevin Muscat be a late contender to take over at Ibrox? I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio are Stephen O'Donnell and Roger Hannah.
Yes, we've got Stevie O tonight, but Rangers have not got Stevie G, Andrew. And who will be the replacement for Russell Martin? Danny Rowell is still the bookie's favourite, but as you see, Kevin Muscat closing fast on the rails, just as he looks to take Shanghai Port to back-to-back Chinese Super League titles. And you're right, Scotland have won rubbish for two games, 6 points out of six. We're guaranteed at least a playoff place next March. Our name will be in the World Cup finals draw on the 5th of December. And you know what that means, Stephen, don't you?
We're all going to America.
No, Stevie Clarke wouldn't be the next Rangers manager.
Yeah, rubbish, I think, as Roger said, for two games, Stephen. But two good results, but Scotland will certainly need to be better in the next international camp if we want to get to that World Cup automatically.
No, 100%. I think it'd be amazing if we did qualify automatically, but it was always going to be a difficult group. Both Greece and Denmark above us in the rankings, and that's us kind of put one to bed as such, but we obviously need to try and go to Greece to get a result. But the game at Hampden will be a completely different game against Denmark with the fans behind us. Even just the setup of the team doesn't need to be as maybe trying to be dominant. That's what frustrated everyone with the last two games. We didn't have much of the ball. The other sides kind of played, well, we had plenty last night, but the Belarus side had probably a bit more domination in terms of possession kind of in the final third. But we just didn't quite perform well enough, and against Denmark everyone will be up for it, the energy levels will be better, and I'm sure we'll have a better performance and a great result.
And I'll speak for the nation, Stephen, and say I don't care, we get 6 points. If someone said before that Greece game last Thursday night, tell you what, we're going to be rank rotten, we're going to stink the place out for 3 hours, Greece will be better than us, Belarus will be better than us, Belarus will have 22 shots on Angus Gunn's goal, but we'll get a 3-1 because the Greek goalie will throw one to Lyndon Dykes in injury time. We'll get a 2-1 against Belarus. Greece will lose again, and that'll get us a play. Would I had it? Would I taken it? Stop moaning.
100%.
We're moaning enough that we play well and lose games.
No, 100%. I'm delighted that we're in the hat for a qualifier at the very worst, and I'd have taken that at the start of the group.
Need to get you back. You've got a great record in qualifiers. Serbia.
That's it. Didn't play
Israel.
Ukraine.
Didn't play Ukraine.
That's what was wrong.
John McGinn said it was the wildest he'd seen Steve Clarke at halftime. Have you seen Steve Clarke's wild side before?
Not too often, to be honest. Once or twice at Killie. He came after me after a Hearts game. He said, that's how you play your way out of Scotland squad. That's when he was a Kilmarnock manager. It's pretty gutted. And then I didn't play the Russia game was quite bad. I wasn't in the dressing room for the game, so I was doing runs after the game, so didn't quite witness all of that, but seemingly that was quite tough. Pleased I missed them.
Lots of talking points we want to hear from you. 0141 951 1025. Maybe you want to reflect on that Scotland game last night. Was there anything you liked about it at all? The result, I'm sure, but I'm sure not the performance. How do you feel going into the final two games of the qualification group? 0141 951 1025. The Rangers managerial hunt continues. It rumbles on for another day. We knew over the weekend that Steven Gerrard pulled out of the race to return it to Ibrox, and the latest name that has been linked, he's been talked about before, but Kevin Muscat, a story in the website of your paper, Roger,
yeah,
saying that Kevin Muscat
could, writer, well, Robert Grieve broke the story this afternoon. Kevin Muscat's a really interesting managerial career. You know, he's won titles, Andrew, in Australia with Melbourne, in Japan with Yokohama. In his first season in China last season, they won a League Cup double with Shanghai Port. They beat Shanghai Shenhua, the city rivals, to the title by a point. They're 2 points clear at the minute with four games to go. It's a strange finale to the season, actually. There's three quick fire games after the international break. I think they play on Friday, then next midweek and next weekend. And then they don't play their last league game until after their involvement in the Asian Champions League. So I think the last league game's currently scheduled for November the 22nd. But that 2-point lead, they could actually be champions again by next weekend. So I think that will all come into the considerations, both considerations of Rangers and the considerations of Kevin Muscat, but he is very much admired, very much in the thoughts of the Rangers hierarchy.
0141 951 1025, taking your calls for the next 2 hours. Let's kick things off with Craig, who is a Rangers fan in Moodysburn. Craig, that news that Kevin Muscat could well be under consideration, is that something you'd like to see?
Good evening, Andrew. I'm going to go a wee bit, and obviously Roger and, is it Andy that's on tonight? No.
Stephen O'Donnell.
All right, okay.
I'm the good-looking Motherwell player.
We've moved along the Motherwell bench.
Sorry, I didn't see the YouTube thing before. Listen, I'm going to go a wee bit against the grain here. I was actually one of the guys here in the summer. I never wanted Steven Gerrard back. He's turned us down twice now in the space of 6 months. We need to move on from him. He's not Walter Smith. He seems to think he's Walter Smith, in my opinion. And listen, I know online fans aren't the barometer of the match. They go on fans for the most point, but I think I'm not going to name the fan sites because that will give them attention, but there's a few fan forums that have been salivating about Steven Gerrard as if he's the second coming of the Messiah and this, that and that. It's pathetic, you know, for want of a better word. In terms of your question, Andrew, Kevin Muscat, not for me. I'll be honest with you, if Ange Postecoglou hadn't been a success at Celtic, would we even be talking about Kevin Muscat? Probably not. The two names that I would like, well, actually, sorry, three names, but I think one of them is not realistic, unfortunately, because the 49ers group don't have that vision. I've said all along, Frank Lampard is my number one choice. The 49ers don't seem to have that ambition. Could they prize him from Coventry at the moment? Probably not. But Frank Lampard is a Rangers fan for all intents and purposes. He's openly said that. You know, his wife's, you know, from a Rangers leaning family. I know that actually for a fact before people online shut me down. My other option would have been Derek McInnes. Again, I don't think the Rangers board have got the ambition to go and pay Hearts. What they want, the kind of cross point on that is people say, oh, McInnes turned us down. Steven Gerrard's done that twice in 6 months, like I said a few months ago. The most realistic option for me is Kieran McKenna. And the reason I say that is before Man United appointed that Amarin guy, who Man United and Rangers have got an awful lot in common beside Patrick Stewart, dumpster fires. You know, I grew up supporting Rangers in the 90s, and if you told me Rangers and Man United had been state they are at the moment, they laughed at you. But anyway, Kieran McKenna was linked to a Manchester United job, as I'm sure Roger knows, before Amarin. That for me is the one that would excite me. This Danny Rowe guy is a Russell Martin part two. In terms of my two names, Frank Lampard, you know, is the one that I want. But as I say, Rangers board haven't got the ambition to go and ask Coventry the question, because unlike Steven Gerrard, I genuinely believe if Frank Lampard was approached, he would walk here. Obviously not walk here, but you know what I mean.
Do you feel any of those are realistic options, Roger? Frank Lampard, Derek McInnes,
there's an awful lot in there. The Stevie Gerrard thing, just as Craig's first point, Stevie Gerrard seems to split opinion. People either remember him winning the league title 55, stopping Celtic's 10 in a row, and love him for that, or they remember the one trophy out of 9 and losing at home to Hamilton Accies. So he splits the support.
You would say split. It doesn't seem to be an even split.
No,
though,
no,
it?
No,
it seemed,
I mean,
like an overwhelming majority over the past week.
Wanted
Steven Gerrard back.
Craig didn't. We've had other callers on the show, Andrew, who didn't want him either. To take on these three candidates, I think that they are three very good managers. I'm not sure Frank Lampard would come at the moment. You need to, you know, look where Rangers are. Rangers have just failed to get an unemployed manager in Steven Gerrard. Frank Lampard's got Coventry at the top of the Championship. He looks as if he'll get them into the Premier League. He will have ambitions to rehabilitate himself as a top boss. Frank Lampard could be the next England manager if, you know, Tuchel's only in a contract till the end of the World Cup campaign. If Lampard gets Coventry up there and does well, there'll be a groundswell of opinion for him to be the next England manager. McInnes, Craig, I've said from the start of the process, McInnes should have been the number one candidate. The fact he knocked Rangers back 8 years ago is neither here nor there. He's a different manager there, a different club from the state they were in then. But they've chosen not to go for him. Kieran McKenna's done a great job. He will also have ambitions to get Ipswich back into the Premier League. I think he recently signed a contract extension. A very capable manager. I think any of the three of them would do very well for Rangers. I'm not sure any of the three of them is going to be the next Rangers manager, though.
From a player's perspective, Stephen, what will it be like for the Rangers players at the moment? Because they'll have seen Russell Martin go last Sunday. There is then a huge opinion that Steven Gerrard should be the next Rangers manager. A lot of supporters saying that. Almost looked as if he was going to get the job. Rangers gave themselves, you know, 2 weeks, which is pretty much the maximum amount of time you can really give yourself to appoint a manager mid-season. And now the next weekend is fast approaching. There's no manager in the dugout. Stephen Smith has taken training along with Brian Gilmore.
I think it becomes, it's a fresh start. It's as simple as that. There'll be some players that are sitting pretty now that the manager's away because he's maybe made their mind up. They're not really, Russell Martin wasn't having them. So they'll have a spring in their step. It's maybe harsh to say, but it's only natural. If a boss leaves that you don't like and they don't like you, you're naturally going to maybe be a bit happier going to work. So that's a positive for some players. But then you'll have the players on the other side that have that, oh, well, he's maybe signed me or he played me, he liked me. So that becomes then the kind of yin and yang. The positive that Stephen Smith has is he's able to tell whatever decisions he's going to be making for these games, he's able to say, look, I'm only taking it for a couple of weeks, because that's where the pressure comes when you're actually the manager, because these guys will then fall out with you. Whereas just now it'll be right, well, yeah, you are probably only going to be here for a couple of weeks, so I don't need to throw my toys out the pram. So it becomes very kind of political, and it'll be interesting to see how the side shapes up. Touching on the three managers, just I think, well, Lampard and McInnes are both first in the league in the championship in the SPFL, and then obviously McKenna last year was in the Premiership and sitting ninth with a good Ipswich side. So I think it'll be tough to get any of those three, but as Roger said, would any of them would be very good candidates for Rangers.
On Craig's point about Steven Gerrard and how there was that groundswell of opinion from a lot of Rangers fans. You saw it online that Steven Gerrard should be the next Rangers manager. The disappointment that then came over the weekend for a lot of supporters who didn't get their wish has gone as far as, I know, social media is social media. I've already seen photos of Danny Roll with that red circle with the cross through it already. Yeah. The guys that even got the job at this point, how tough is it going to be for whoever it is, whether it is Michael Carrick, Kieran McKenna, Danny Roll, Kevin Muscat, to actually go in and do their job when fans maybe didn't want them in the first place? Kevin Muscat's maybe a separate.
Yeah, I think Kevin Muscat would be a separate, because a former Rangers player, he was a treble winner when he was at Rangers under Alec McLeish, and he would come with title winning credentials. You know, I think people say, oh, Rangers need to win every game, and then they appoint managers who have had win records of 30%, and the manager's just left with a win record of, I think, was it 29%. So Muscat would come with winning records. I think if he seals this Chinese Super League title next week, it'll be five titles he's won in his managerial career. So he knows how to win things. So that would buy him a bit of time. I think he's you know, previous at Rangers would buy him a bit of time. I'm not so sure that, you know, the likes of Danny Roll coming in, 20th place and 12th place with Sheffield Wednesday. I know he was working under difficult circumstances there. He's 36 years of age. Listen, he could turn out to be a wonderful coach and have a wonderful coaching career. I just think where Rangers are now and where Danny Roll is now in his coaching trajectory, they're not suited. Not suited at all.
Does Kevin Muscat seem more of a safer option than some of the other names that have been mentioned for the board, given the opinions of supporters?
I don't necessarily think they need to look safe. I think they need to look sensibly with a clear head as to who can bring success to Rangers. You know, people say, oh, get a manager in, they get the title going, and there's two cups to go for, and there's Europe. Rangers are eighth in the league, Andrew. They've won one league game by the middle of October. They need someone to go in and do what Steve Clarke's just done with Scotland. Even if they're rubbish, win a couple of games. and then try and build it from there. What they don't need is another philosopher in this, you know, same shape as Russell Martin to go in and fill the players' heads full of things that aren't suited to Rangers.
Well, thank you to Craig, 0141 951 1025. Sterling is a Rangers fan in the South Side. Sterling, who do you think should be the next Rangers manager?
Well, mine's is a bit of a out-the-box suggestion so far. I've not heard anyone else say it on your show. Jens Bertolaskou.
Well, I tell you what, there's someone sitting next to me that definitely won't be suggesting that Jens Bertolaskou should be going to Rangers.
Wouldn't touch him, nowhere near good enough. No, look, I certainly think if it's a couple more months down the line, I think our manager could be a serious contender for lots of jobs, because the style of football he brings, it's naturally attractive, and we're getting, albeit not wins just now, but kind of results. And I think if we get a couple of wins together with the performances, I definitely think he'll be on the tip of lots of chairmen's and people in football's tongues, because it has, like, the full of Motherwell's behind how he's trying to play. They're really excited, they're enjoying the football, fans are coming back, it's younger players are looking great, so it's kind of the for selling aspects. He ticks a lot of boxes, but I hope Rangers aren't interested.
Come on, Stephen, the last manager lasted 12 games, you can't have another one lasting 12 games.
Look, he's done well, so I hope not. I'm enjoying how he's playing, I'm enjoying working under him, so I hope Rangers stay well clear.
He was always the easy comparison, wasn't he, Jens Bertolaskou, with Russell Martin? We heard that on the phones quite a lot of the time, about the fact that Jens Bertolaskou was coming in, they both started at the same time in their jobs, and the fact that they were trying to implement radical changes at the clubs they were in, and Jens Bertolaskou did it successfully.
And Stephen can agree or disagree with me, it's not comparing two things. Jens Bertolaskou's gone in to Motherwell and has, you know, got this lovely style of play. So I really enjoyed one of your games against Kilmarnock. I think it was a 2-2 game earlier in the season, and I thought, this is great. You really enjoyed the way they played football. And they went to Celtic Park your last game, you're 2-1 up, he stuck to that principle, the goalie gave the ball away and Celtic score and come back and win the game, and there is no scrutiny, neither there should be. Motherwell fans are enjoying it, they're fine with it. They are not winning games, not really losing games either. It's been a positive start to the season. A lot of new guys have settled in very well. Can you imagine the Rangers goalkeeper did that at Celtic Park and it went from 1-2 to 3 to a 3-2 defeat? They'd be screaming the place down. So he can do it at Motherwell without the same pressures that fall upon a Rangers manager.
I think as well, what you forget with a club the size of Rangers, you've got the pressure from all the fans, the expectation, but you also have the salary of the players. And a lot of the players at Rangers, I know maybe not the heights of the English Premiership, but the money they're on, it makes it very difficult for them to, like, you as a manager, you need to be able to motivate them. You need to make sure they're wanting to play for you. On the money these guys are on, some of them can go, do you know what, I don't fancy this. And they maybe get 2 or 3 years left in their deal. And that becomes another part of management at that level.
Yeah.
So, and again, I'm not saying our manager couldn't handle that. I don't know. But these are things that just makes every job different, and Rangers is certainly a very unique one when you're competing with what really Celtic, I know Hearts are doing really well just now, but to try and win the league and the pressure to win three cups, it's unlike many other places.
Well, thank you to Sterling. I don't mind that. A bit of a different opinion, a bit of a different suggestion. 0141 951 1025. Maybe you want to add to that. Maybe you want to look back on Scotland's win over Belarus last night. We'll take more of your calls next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Stephen O'Donnell here with me, Andrew McLean, on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We want to hear from you. 0141 951 1025. Plenty of opinions on the Rangers managerial hunt, which continues at the moment. And of course, looking back on Scotland's 2-1 win over Belarus last night. Not the performance that everyone would have wanted, but still a crucial 3 points as the national side look to try and get to the World Cup next year. So any thoughts on any of that or anything else? 0141 951 1025. Roger, it is the first time we've spoken to you since the weekend when Steven Gerrard knocked back the chance to or dropped out of the running. What was your take on that when that all developed on Saturday?
Well, at 8:15, I was out walking the dog and I thought, this is typical. I'm about the furthest point away from the house. I'm going to need to get back and see what's happening here. I was surprised it took so long for the negotiations to sort of stumble, if you like. I mean, by all accounts, they met in London on Thursday. So, you know, how does it take them 3 days to work out that the timing isn't quite right for it? It was a strange week, all told. If you remember, it started with Rio Ferdinand's podcast, Stephen Gerrard talking about having unfinished business, and suddenly the bandwagon was rolling. Rangers fans wanted him back. The club met him for talks. The bookies suspended the betting. I mean, that's how close it looked for him to be coming back. And then suddenly on Saturday night, it was all off. So there will be enormous disappointment among those Rangers supporters we spoke about earlier on, Andrew, who had their hearts set on Stephen Gerrard coming back. And it puts a bit of pressure on the Rangers board as well, because, you know, we've had loads of different candidates there. Craig and Sterling talking with various guys, from Frank Lampard to Kieran McKenna to Derek McInnes. We've discussed Danny Roll, we've discussed Kevin Muscat. They need to get it right, because Andrew Kavanagh and the 49ers, the first big task they had was to appoint a manager, and it backfired spectacularly, and they can't afford to get the second one wrong so soon.
0141 951 1025 on the phones. Thomas is in East Kilbride. Thomas, what did you take away from that Scotland performance last night?
Well, first of all, evening, Andrew, Stephen, Roger.
Hi, Thomas. Well. You too.
What I took away from the performance was that it was absolutely dreadful. And similarly, the first hour against Greece was absolutely dreadful. And in both cases, I think we were a bit too standoffish and our press was all over the place. And we were, as I say, just an absolute mess of a football team for a game and two thirds. But we did get the 6 points. And I suppose that that's all we can really ask for in the grand scheme of things. And I actually have to say, as much as I was absolutely raging with the performance against Belarus and as well as against Greece, I think, see if you look, I don't know if you would have noticed, you probably would have, after the game when all the players were going round and getting off the pitch down the tunnel, they were all absolutely raging. And you listen to their interviews and Steve Clarke's interviews and, you know, they know that that was unacceptable, that level of performance, particularly against Belarus. And I'm taking that as a real positive in a way, that they know that it was unacceptable and really poor, you know, because it's much better that than a manager and players trying to pull the wool over fans' eyes. And I really think the fact that we're now assured of a playoff place as an absolute minimum could give us the opportunity, you know, to go for the games in November a bit more and, you know, be a bit more gung-ho. I know that's not usually Steve Clarke's style, but I think given that we're assured of that playoff, I think we can go for it a wee bit more. And I think that that would actually do us a favour in terms of increasing our chances when it comes to winning the group. And I just wanted to get the panel's thoughts on that.
Stephen, what do you think? Do you think Steve Clarke will alter anything, alter much after these performances? Because it's obviously a strange situation to be in. Steve Clarke obviously wasn't happy with the performances over this international break. The players obviously weren't happy with it, but they managed to come away with the results that have got Scotland potentially a step closer to World Cup qualification.
Yeah, no, well, as we said, the results speak for themselves. 6 points, we've now guaranteed qualifier. Do I see him changing much for the next game? No, I don't, because I don't think there's been maybe criticism of performances slightly. There's never been this much criticism from himself and the players talking about it. So I think they know it needs to be better, but I think they are capable. They've shown over time, like even the result, the performance in Denmark, I thought was good against a very good Danish side away from home in a tough environment. So it's not as if this team isn't capable of it and playing the way he wants. So I don't think much will change. I think it's going to be a tough game over in Greece for all different circumstances. The fact that they're out, really. So how are they going to approach it? Are they going to go gung-ho because they've got nothing to play for? Are they going to try and play some young talent they've got? I don't know. But certainly I don't see the manager changing too much because it's worked and it's got results. And if we were to get another 6 points, I would take two terrible performances to guarantee a place in the World Cup. So I think he will be very aware. He will know there will be a reaction from this squad. They'll be hurting, as you heard from every single one, was pretty like surprised at how the manager spoke at half time when they've been chatting. And they all will want to prove a point, show that they're better than what they showed the last two games.
You can always spin it two ways, Roger, that some people will say, oh, it's a sign of a good team if you win games when you're not playing well. But then other people might say, well, defeat's just around the corner if you continue to perform like that. What sort of camp do you lie in?
I know what you mean. Steve Clark will gather them again next month and he'll say to them, right, boys, we're away in Greece. The last time we went here, we won 1-0. So we know we can do it. And then the Danes come to Hampden and they can say, right, lads, the last time the Danes came here, we beat them 2-0 and we looked really good. So he will know, and the players will know, they are capable of getting the results. You know, a point in Greece, Andrew, and a home win against Denmark takes us to a World Cup finals. Not been there since 1998. It would be a phenomenal achievement by this squad of players and by Steve Clarke. Now, if we stumble, if we don't quite do it, we've then got that safety net. We've got the playoff in March. Obviously, we don't know who we're going to get yet. There's a lot of possibility. We can't dive deeply into it. We did okay, you know, in the playoff when Stephen and the lads were playing against Israel in the semi-final, Serbia in the final. So we know we can do that as well. So this squad can fall back on their own experiences. You know, they've done it in Athens. They've done it at home to the Danes. They've done it in that kind of semi-final, final playoff scenario. So, yes, the performances were poor in the last week, but he'll want to throw it forward and, you know, have a bit of positivity. And the players will know that they can do it.
On the build-up to the last Euros, I remember the kind of form hadn't been great. We hadn't won many games, but it was, at the start of it, there were some very good performances. But that didn't get spoke about when it came to turning up to the Euros, playing Germany. Oh, we've not won in how many games, or there's been this and that. The game against Northern Ireland was horrific. Like, so the results, Matt, if we'd won every game leading to that, it would have been how great are we? The narrative can change. We have won the two games, performance can be better, and it's a much better place to be trying to improve from than losing and having a good performance.
What do you put it down to, Thomas, those performances? Was it players maybe just not hitting the level they're capable of? Was it to do with the players that were put on the pitch by Steve Clarke? Was it tactical for you?
For me, Andrew, from watching the games, I believe it to be a mostly tactical issue. Obviously, you know, the players need to take responsibility. You know, we've got some, I would say, some world-class players in our squad, and they were nowhere near world-class in really either of the games. So, you know, to a level, they do need to take some responsibility. But if you actually watch the games, I think, because in my opinion, it was the same sorts of issues we were having in both games, where sort of stylistically, in both games, we let the opposition have, in my opinion, too much control of the ball in the midfield and getting the ball in our defensive third and allowing them to generate chances. Now, they didn't generate that many chances, but, you know, we allowed them to get into positions where they could have generated better chances. And I think that that's down to the fact, you know, tactically, I think our press was a bit sort of stop-start and players were going in ones and twos rather than as a team. And I think we were a bit standoffish and a bit, you know, it was said after the Greece game by, I think it was Andy Robertson, used the phrase, when we went 1-0 down, we took the shackles off. And I think it was very clear that for the majority of the game against Greece, and I would suggest as well, most if not all of the game against Belarus, we were playing with shackles on, we were playing with the handbrake on, and we were a bit, it was almost like we were playing with fear. And that's what I mean when I say about changing things as a result of having that playoff in our back pocket. That's what I'm hoping to change, like not necessarily big tactical changes like a different formation or whatever, right? But just, you know, mentality wise, I think having that safety blanket of, right, guys, we're in a playoff. If this all goes Pete Tong, then, you know, I think the players will have less of that fear and be maybe a bit more brave on the ball and a bit more, you know, positive, and I think that that would really stand us in good stead to get the results that we require.
Thank you to Thomas. What about George in Kirkintilloch? What did you make of the performance as a whole over the international break? What does it do for your confidence levels about getting to the World Cup?
Well, I've been listening to the previous caller, and a lot of the things he'd mentioned I would concur with. What was frustrating for me was that certainly in both games, actually, Steve Clarke seemed to be a bit slow in putting the subs on. And I think it was in the game against Belarus, Shea Adams was getting very, very tired and things like that. Now, see when Steve Clarke finally introduced the likes of Wayne Miller and
Kieran Bowie.
Kieran Bowie. I was like, finally, this is the type of game that Kieran Bowie could thrive on, you know, against Belarus, because, you know, he likes going up players. And I just felt that, again, you know, I don't know what it was, but if we played that high press and it just went at the opposition, then we could have won by a few more. The goal that we conceded against Belarus, it was just sloppy defending. And again, you have to think, well, these guys are professionals. Why are they standing off, you know, the attacker that managed to get the ball in the net and stuff like that? There just seemed to be a kind of lack of urgency until we got that second goal and things like that. And we have, I think we were very lucky for Belarus not to get a first goal that was chopped off. So it could have been a totally different game, but we have to stop playing this tippy-tappy, slow, backward, sideways passing and just inject some confidence. And it's about playing players that are on form. And
did it seem quite lethargic overall, Roger?
If you look at it, two games in isolation, Thursday night, I think at the back of everyone's mind was Greece coming to Hampden and winning 3-0 in March in that Nations League game, and the way the game unfolded that night. And I think the tactic was probably to get a foothold in the game, stay in the game, you know, don't lose the goals the way they lost the goals back in March. And then as the game grew on, you know, grow into it and try and impose your style on the Greeks. And to a certain extent it worked. I know there was that chance that flashed across past Pavlidis in the first 5 or 10 minutes, Andrew. I guess Gunn didn't have a save to make to stop each time. And when the Greeks scored, it was Steve Clarke actually said the shackles seemed to come off and Scotland got into the game. And they did play, you know, they didn't slice the Greeks open. The first two goals came for set pieces and second balls returned into the box type thing. And then the third goal was a mistake with the Greek goalie. So, but they won the game. So, you know, I think that was different from last night. Last night, you have to remember there were 5 changes, 3 at the back, 4 changed, the 2 centre midfielders changed as well. So it's a slightly different Scotland side. And they didn't play well. I won't pretend they played well. Steve Clarke didn't pretend they played well. I think the guys who come into the team might not start in Athens. I think the team that started on Thursday night, if everyone's fit, might be the team you see starting in Athens next month. They didn't play well. They got away with it. 22 efforts in goal from Belarus. Probably haven't had 22 efforts in goal in the entire campaign prior to last night. But we got away with it. Adams scored. I thought Adams led the line well. McTominay scored. He needed a goal. They lost one at the end. Another 5 minutes, I think, I'd have been shaken. But we've won the 2 games. And I think now the manager will reflect that we've got away with it. And he'll remind the players that they need to up their game for 2 crucial games next month.
Can it sometimes happen with international football when there are so many variables? There's, you know, big gaps in between camps. There are players, some are coming into it in good form, some are maybe coming into it having not played too much football, that there will sometimes just be some camps that it doesn't click as much as it does in other ones.
Yeah, and also in the time there's the squad itself has some players that aren't playing at all, some that are playing every week, and then that brings the Monday and Tuesday when they meet up. Like, a lot of the boys still aren't playing or training because they've maybe had a game on a Sunday, they've been travelling. So whether or not you agree with that, that's the way football has gone. So if boys aren't training until the Wednesday, like, when is Steve Clarke maybe really meant to implement maybe wee tweaks to systems? It becomes stuff you need to do in the meetings. And again, that some people don't like to pick up watching it. They like to be shown, put in place in a training pitch. So that can be a factor. It always will be a factor for every international manager. But I think as we said, the 6 points was great. I just think we're a wee bit caught cold by how Belarus approached the game. I think they have just used it as a free hit. Before the game, I spoke about expecting some goals. I thought it would have been 4-0. I watched us over in Hungary playing, and it was 2-0 in an empty stadium. And I watched the team sit as a back five, and I went, if they do that at Hampden, we're going to have all the ball, we're going to dominate, we're going to get chances, and we've got the players that will take them. That wasn't what I was expecting, and I don't think it's what Steve Clarke was expecting, what we've seen. And what we've seen was a side that was quite exciting to watch, were quite brave at times. They isolated, and you've seen it in the first half. We could have been 3 or 4 up if the way we'd kind of worked with getting Ben Doka on the ball, and the way he skips by people and creates space. We were in really good positions to make more of those opportunities, and we didn't. But that could have been easily 3-0, because in the first half, they didn't trouble us. They were involved in the game, but they didn't. They had like 5 or 6 shots outside the box. The second half, however, they changed their back four. Doak seemed to kind of get snuffed out with that. And then they started kind of causing his real problems going forward. And it did become worrying. But I think getting the win up the road, lots for the manager to look at. But this team will come back hungry. And again, 2 games away, we're talking about shackles coming off. They're trying to qualify for a World Cup that hasn't happened in a long, long time. There is going to be fear. There's going to be nerves. There's going to be some decisions brought on from that. We're only human. And as much as some of these players have great careers and earn lots and lots of money, they care about coming. They come every single time and they want to do well for their country.
Look at the table. 10 points from 4 teams. Yep. Since 1998, I'm a wee bit older than you, since 1998, believe me when I tell you, I've seen some utter rubbish from Scotland. I've seen some dreadful qualifying campaigns. I've seen campaigns that are over almost before they've started. This isn't one of them. This is a good campaign. 10 points out of 12, guaranteed at least a playoff, guaranteed that our World Cup campaign will go on until at least March the 26th next year, and a playoff semi-final, and hopefully all the way to North America. This is good.
100%. And this is where I got so frustrated at the Euros last time. We have got to 2 major tournaments out of 3. We're hoping to go 3 out of 4, which would be incredible. And the criticism after that tournament, we are trying to learn as a group. There's lots of caps. We're trying to get better, bringing in some young players, Lennon, Bowie coming on. There is so much to be optimistic about. And yeah, the performances weren't good, but we're still at everything Roger just said.
Well, thank you to George, 0141 951 1025. Get your calls in while I tell you about this. Clyde One. It's a new week and a new chance to win big, big money. £580,000 this time round. For £2.50 plus your standard network rate, you'll get 15 entries. Text YES to 61025 to bag this week's special offer, or get 100 entries into the draw by texting BANK to 61025. Texts are £10 plus your standard network rate, or you can call 03434 269 340. Calls are charged at the standard rate. It's over 18s only. Online entry and all the rules for this Rail Network competition are at makemeawinner.co.uk. Lines close at 5 o'clock on Friday and someone will win the lot. All you need to do is answer your phone. £580,000 will be yours, paid into your bank account in time for the weekend. So for your chance to win, text YES to 61025 now.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hannah and Stephen O'Donnell here with me, Andrew McLean, on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Keep those calls coming, 0141 951 1025. Dale is up next. Dale, Scotland fan, how are you feeling going into the next international break after the 2 games you just saw?
Oh, they were difficult to watch. I've got to say, I was there last night and it was a poor performance, to be quite honest with you.
Um, don't know
if you hear me okay?
Yeah, yeah, got you, Dale.
Sorry. It was a poor, poor performance. I've got to say, I've been at Ibrox for just about every home game this season, and it very much reminded me of watching a Russell Martin team. We didn't press, and we didn't defend. We gave a lot of space down the wings, and it seemed to be one ball, and we were beaten. We gave so many chances away in both those games. However, the caveat to that is, I looked today and I seen that the Czech Republic get beat off of the Faroe Islands. We're in a situation where we get 4 points at the next two games and we're going to the World Cup.
I think people probably would have bitten your hand off for that scenario going into the final two games as well, Roger.
Oh, 100%, Andrew. The Faroes is a good point you make, Dale. 4-0 against Montenegro, 2-1 against the Czechs last night. That was a Czech team with, I think, Černý was in it, Sufal and Suček were in it, Vidra up front. So the Faroes is fantastic. They've won their last three qualifiers. They're third in their group. So it just shows you can take nothing for granted. You know, I think, as Stephen said, he thought Scotland would roll up last night and put four past Belarus. Sometimes it's just not that easy. Sometimes you do need to ride your luck a little bit. We've certainly ridden our luck in the last week. 10 points from 12. If we get a point in Athens and beat Denmark, we're going to the World Cup. Now, Stephen and Andrew here, I know if you're watching in the YouTube, Dale, you won't believe me, but they're too young to actually remember what it's like going to a World Cup. This will be enormous, not just enormous, you know, for the Andy Robertsons and John McGinns in this world. It's enormous for the nation. Thousands, tens of thousands of Scotland fans would go to North America next summer. It would be a pilgrimage the like of which a generation has not seen. We cannot overstate the importance of these two games next month. They are huge. If we can get a point in Greece, I'll say it again, if we can get a point in Greece and beat Denmark, it will be the biggest tonic for Scottish football for a generation.
That importance won't be lost on the players, will it, Stephen? Because you speak to former players who, you know, over the last 20, 30 years have been involved in Scotland squads and didn't get to any major tournaments so far. And a lot of them will tell you it's one of the biggest regrets of their career, the fact that they never managed to get there. The players now, the fact that they haven't been to a World Cup, that's the ultimate motivation for any player, isn't it?
100%. I think, like everything, you get greedy when it was so long without a tournament. You just wanted a tournament. We then got the Euros. It was like, well, we've ticked that off. Let's try and get to a World Cup. We obviously get beat off Ukraine last time, followed up with a great Euros campaign to get into the tournament, and very un-Scotland-like, pretty clean cut. And then now we're into this campaign and just the excitement to hopefully get to a World Cup. I think the fact that it's in America as well, pretty cool.
It's brilliant.
To go over there.
Absolutely brilliant.
I already have, and you see the players having that they know about it, they want it. I've got mates already starting negotiating with their wives. Oh, I'll let you do this with the kids, but if we get to the World Cup, can I go? So everybody, like, the excitement that comes around that, and as you say, the pilgrimage is spot on. It'll be some gathering, and like the fans were over in Germany, it would be an amazing experience to be part of, and hopefully I can be part of it. I'd love to be involved in it football-wise, but unlikely. I'll be more excited to be part of it in a fan going over, maybe in a punditry role or something. Would you take me?
Listen, remember it was Euros last year, was it not? DL and Wilson sharing the room. One of them's busy doing other stuff now. So if you fancy sharing the room with Gordon DL, get your order in early.
There's Stephen hoping Scotland don't qualify for the World Cup.
I now don't mind the next two results.
That rousing speech you gave earlier on is just, that's been dampened completely just because the thought of sharing a bedroom with Gordon DL. The fact that Greece are now out of contention completely, that is Scotland's next game. Do you think that could have a factor in the match at all? Is that something that people read too much into?
I think, well, you put it, if it was Scotland coming to Hampden, we've just guaranteed we can't qualify. The fans, I imagine, will be expecting a reaction. They'll be expecting something, a team that's at least proud to put on the jersey. So I don't think it'll be easy. That could maybe relieve shackles from the Greeks, because, by the way, they're a good side, and you've seen it in the two games before and this one.
Couple of big suspensions, the Greeks, you know, off the back of last night.
Good,
as well.
That's positive.
Players missing.
So could be, again, I would say that would have more of a bearing than the actual being out, but we'll wait and see. Is the manager under pressure? I'd imagine he could be under some pressure.
Yeah,
so all these things, it'll be interesting to see. I just hope that is all on against them, and we can then maybe go to there and get the 3 points, but it'll be tough.
Thank you to Dale, 0141 951 1025. Maybe you want to add some thoughts to the Scotland chat. Maybe you're a Rangers fan that's interested in what's going on in the managerial hunt. We've got another hour to get calls in, so give us a call on that number. And before we take calls on that, we'll take calls for this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
You played 1-1, Stephen? Is that your record?
It is. I'm very proud of it, 100%.
And Roger got his third 10 of the season last week.
And I got a prize. Got one of these bad boys.
You get one of these Beat the Pundit, special Beat the Pundit coins you got to take home with him.
So everywhere.
10 out of 10.
So for your chance to take on either Stephen O'Donnell or Roger Hanna at Beat the Pundit, get your calls in now, 0141 951 1025.
This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Stephen O'Donnell and Roger Hanna here with me, Andrew McLean, on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Plenty more of your calls to come. Maybe you want to look back on Scotland's 2-1 win over Belarus last night. Maybe you want to look ahead to what it means for the next international break. Or maybe you're a Rangers fan as this managerial hunt rumbles on. It's not going to be Steven Gerrard. It could be Kevin Muscat. Plenty other names being banded about as well. Who do you think should be the manager? What did you make of the Steven Gerrard rejection over at the weekend? 0141 951 1025. Maybe you're a fan of any other club and you want to have a chat about what is going on there. 0141 951 1025. Well, let's play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Yeah, as we said before the break, it's now a hat-trick of 10s for you this season. You got one of these special coins to take home. Where is it?
I've taken
it, pride of place.
Pride of place. I've taken it everywhere. Showing everybody in the last 7 days. Bored everybody rigid with the story.
They tried to use it for the shopping trolley.
It's pride of place in the house. Wonderful. Yeah.
Even so is it in its special presentation
case as
well?
Yes. We get it out to have a look at it last week, and Simon Donnelly dropped it. So it wasn't an auspicious start, but it is back. Pride of place, and it's thank you, Zenith Coins.
Well, that is the
for all your coin needs, Stephen.
that's what you've got to aim for, Stephen. You need to try and get yourself a 10.
Your coin's safe, you're all right.
It is going to be Gary in Irvine. Gary, who would you rather take on, Roger Hanna or Stephen O'Donnell?
Oh, Stephen O'Donnell.
Yeah, simple as that.
Simple as that.
Tell you what, Stephen's got a 100% record. He has played 1-1-1. So
he's one of these guys. He plays down. No, he plays down his ability.
Also, last year had played 2 and 1-2. Yep. So
yeah, they are playing the best.
Oh,
how do you normally get along, Gary, when you're playing along at home?
Normally, all right. It just depends on the questions, doesn't it?
It's the name of the game. Depends on the questions. So we'll see. We'll see. It will be the blue side of the special Beat the Pundit coin for Stephen O'Donnell. It will be the red side for Roger Hanna. And it is the blue side of the coin. So it's going to be Stephen O'Donnell against Gary and Irvine.
Good luck,
so
man.
We are going to put some greatest hits radio in the ear of Stephen O'Donnell so he cannot hear us and he cannot cheat. Gary, it is 30 seconds on the clock to answer as many questions as you can. Remember, you can pass as well to save yourself a bit of time if you're struggling on any questions. Yep. Is that all good?
Yep.
Right, let's do it. Which Scotsman plays for Everton?
Duncan Ferguson.
In what year did Steven Gerrard leave Rangers?
2022.
How many Celtic managers have played for Northern Ireland?
3.
Who has more Scotland caps, Grant Hanley or Danny McGrain?
Grant Hanley.
Rocky Bashiri represents which country?
Nigeria.
Which Premiership club shares its name with a Walter Scott novel?
Pass.
Okay, we will bring Stephen O'Donnell back in. Good to go. Two, you are chuckling at something over there.
Well, our fellow pundit is just peppering me, saying that I'm collapsing already.
Yeah.
When Mr. GDL of Motherwell.
I'm not happy.
Supposed to be a Motherwell fan. Here he is, a Motherwell legend.
Already, he's already having a go at you. Right, okay. We'll see. Is that going to put you off?
That happens on a Saturday as well, so don't worry about it.
Right, 30 seconds on the clock for Stephen O'Donnell. Let's go. Which Scotsman plays for Everton?
Oh, jeez. Nathan Patterson.
In what year did Stephen Gerrard leave Rangers?
21.
How many Celtic managers have played for Northern Ireland?
2.
Who has more Scotland caps, Grant Hanley or Danny McGrain?
Grant Hanley.
Rocky Bashiri represents which country?
Pass.
Which Premiership club shares its name with a Walter Scott novel?
Don't have a clue. Wraith Rovers.
Okay, we will bring
were you good there?
Gary back in.
I thought you were good.
Gary, how do you feel that went?
I'm not sure, to be fair.
Right, we will go through them. Which Scotsman plays for Everton?
So slow that. So slow.
You were slow,
I'm
but right back. You got it right. Nathan Patterson. Yeah. Correct. Gary went a bit back in time. He went for Duncan Ferguson.
Come on, Gary. You can't give me the big one and give me that.
think his contract's expired, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Duncan Ferguson. So it goes 1-0 to Stephen O'Donnell. And what year did Stephen Gerrard leave Rangers? Gary went for 2022. Stephen O'Donnell went for 2021. It is 2021. It's 2-0 to Stephen O'Donnell. How many Celtic managers have played for Northern Ireland? Gary went for 3. Stephen O'Donnell went for 2. Martin O'Neill, Neil Lennon. And that's it. 2-3-0 to Stephen O'Donnell. Who has more Scotland caps, Grant Hanley or Danny McGrain? You both went Grant Hanley. You're both correct. Aye. 64 for Grant Hanley, 62 for Danny McGrain. So 4-1.
I didn't think it was as many for
Danny
McGrain.
To Stephen O'Donnell, Rocky Bashiri represents which country? Neither of you got it. Roger?
DR Congo.
Correct. The Democratic Republic of Congo. So it remains 4-1, and you both got to the final question, which means we already know that Stephen O'Donnell has won. Which Premiership club shares its name with a Walter Scott novel? You went for Wraith Rovers, who aren't even a Premiership club.
Oh, jeez, I didn't even... Who is it?
18 novel. The Heart of Midlothian.
There you go.
Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
I didn't have a clue. I don't know. I didn't listen to the question.
So it is a victory for Stephen O'Donnell. Unlucky,
Gary. Up the road, Gary. Up the road.
No worries.
Gary, you are a Rangers fan.
Yeah.
Pile on the misery for him. Oh, I'm going to talk up a week.
Get texting DL.
Oh, I definitely get on it, Gordon DL. Gary, who should be the next Rangers manager?
Well, obviously, me and my boy were always wanting to get Stephen Gerrard, but to be fair, there's a lot of people that wouldn't even want to touch the job right now. I'm not actually quite sure, to be fair.
No, as I know, even sort of real profile of manager, I know there are some people that don't want to go near managers that have been in the English Championship or, you know.
No, see, at the end of it, you're going to end up going back to the Russell Martin again if you're going to go back to the English Championship.
Do you think that is the case, Roger? Or do you think some managers are maybe just being tarred with the same brush as Russell Martin?
Listen, I think Rangers will be going for managers who deserve the Rangers job. Guys who have won things in the past, guys who have established themselves as serious, proper managers. Rangers, as a former player said to me earlier on, should never be a project. And Rangers looked like a project when Russell Martin was there. And I think Rangers would look like a project when Danny Rowland was there. Celtic have gone for serious managers. Brendan Rodgers, Ange Postecoglou, who had won titles in two countries, and he's shown he's a serious manager by having success at Celtic and having success at Tottenham. They went for Brendan Rodgers before that. He'd been manager of Liverpool. They've gone for serious managers. Rangers need to go for serious managers. Guys with a proven track record of success who can come in and transform this squad. I'm not sure Danny Rowe, listen, he might turn in to be a wonderful manager in his career. I just don't see it just now. You know, Rangers, they're not Watford, they're not Preston North End, they're not Norwich, they're not just a wee, you know, carousel where managers jump on and off. They should be looking higher than that.
How important is that for players, a manager coming in that has either that winning pedigree or has that stature about them, the type of managers that maybe players fear or that they want to play for? Is that a big thing? Is it important? Does it matter?
I think a lot of the time the managers I've had have been maybe people you've not maybe known so well, or and for them it's kind of their first week or so. You kind of get a real feel, how are they? The one that sticks out that was for Kilmarnock was Steve Clark. When he came in, there was a real kind of fear. I remember him walking into the dressing room before we played Partick Thistle and had big, terrible boots on. But he just walked in and just the place was like dead silent. Yeah. There was like a fear, excitement, and kind of really looking for how did we kind of get him. And then obviously proceeds to be a very good coach. We then have great success. So it's important, but what it isn't be all and end all. I think the first week, 2 weeks is the most important thing. You can see quickly if they're good on the training ground, which is always a positive to have an enjoyment around your work. But when you see how they handle the first game, how they speak to the players that aren't playing, how they speak to the players that are playing, how they speak during that first pre-match, that's when you really kind of see who's kind of made for the job you have at your club.
Yeah, and listen, there needs to be a wow factor for players. Steve Clark could go in and say, listen, I've just worked with Mourinho at Chelsea in one time. I've won with Dalglish at Liverpool. I've been with Hullet at Newcastle. I've managed West Brom in the Premier League and drawn with Alec Ferguson's Man United. I've managed Reading in the Premier League. I'm the real deal.
The only issue with that is,
believe that.
It gives you buy-in.
Yeah.
It gives you buy-in at the start, but we had a Lesu who came in at Kilmarnock after Steve Clark and was an extremely different character to Steve Clark, which was strange because you would think you'd have kept similar because it had been successful. And he had all that pedigree was Antonio Conte's assistant.
Yeah.
And it was very different very quickly. And that's where it isn't just the pedigree helps, but see if they're hopeless beyond the pedigree. Doesn't, and I'm not saying Alessio was, he was just very different, which was the kind of the strange thing. But it'll be interesting. The thing I would say to you about Roger, when you're talking about a manager, not a project, remember Gerrard, it was his first job. I know he'd done the Liverpool 18s, I think it was 18s or reserves maybe.
Yeah.
If somebody comes across a standout candidate, whether they've only played only managed in the Championship, I know Gerrard had been at a massive club and had probably had an expectation, but never won the league. He turned out to be a very good manager, took a couple of years, yes, but did have Rangers seen progression, which for me at Rangers is the most important thing just now, is that they see progression, whether or not they win the league this year. I know fans might not want to hear it, but with Hearts starting so well and there is a gap between them and Celtic already, time runs out for any manager coming in and having to put ideas. Yeah. So this needs to be with real intent to, okay, we're giving them a January and we're giving them the summer. So the right man is the most important man, whether he's experienced, won things, knows what the club's about. The right man is the right man. It doesn't matter any of the criteria. He comes across well on the board. That's why it's a big decision for them.
Well, thank you to Gary and Irvin. What about Stephen, who's a Rangers fan in Motherwell? Stephen, whose name would you throw into the hat?
How's doing, panel?
Stephen.
Yeah, so I was here, your producer there. Last year, before Big Phil got the job, I championed Stevie Robinson. Now, I know a lot of my fellow Rangers fans might kind of scoff at that, but he's a man who knows the league. He can work on a budget. He's got that bit of attitude, that bit of presence in the touchline. I think it's a no-brainer. And I know a lot of them will be scoffing at me right now, going, oh, he's talking absolute nonsense. But I'm telling you, he is a good, good manager.
Stephen Robinson has undoubtedly done a very good job with St Mirren, three top six finishes. He's now got them into the semi-finals of a national cup, yep, as well. Could you see the Rangers board going down that route, Roger?
No, I couldn't see the Rangers board going down that route. If they're not going for Derek McInnes, they won't go for Stephen Robinson. I think he should have been under consideration. I think if you're a Rangers fan, you know, as Stephen is, I think a lot of Rangers fans would prefer Stephen Robinson to another one off the carousel from the English Championship, because Stephen Robinson builds teams to win things. You know, he's taken St Mirren to back-to-back top six finishes. Or is it three top six finishes
three
now?
Yep.
They haven't finished that high for 40 years, Andrew, and he's done it three times in a row. He's taken them to a cup semi-final. People talk about, you know, styles of play. Stephen Robinson's got a style of play. It's a very effective style of play.
Is the problem that wouldn't match what the board are maybe trying to do, the route they went down with Russell Martin? But I know it didn't work, but they've recruited...
Well.
to that style. Do you know what I mean?
No, no, listen. Sooner or later, the people running Rangers must learn that it's not about style, it's about substance. You can have as many philosophies if you like, Andrew, but if you win one of your first seven league games, then it's all over for you. If you're sitting eighth in the Premiership, it's all over for you. You know, they need to discover, you know, they need to bring people into the football club who know how to win games of football. I'm not talking about winning back-to-back league titles or Scottish Cups or League Cups. They need to start with baby steps. They need to get people in who know how to win games of football. And Stephen Robinson knows how to win games of football.
Two of the most successful Celtic and Rangers managers over my lifetime have been Walter Smith and Martin O'Neill. Both were pragmatic managers. Yeah. They played good football, and in amongst those games would have had times where they would have lots of possession, but they had presence, they were direct at times, they had a real physical fear. Like, when you, I didn't play against them, but watching them, you'd see, like, remember watching Celtic's team back three, they're all 6 foot three, four giants. Rangers had Boyd and Naismith up front, or Boyd and Miller, or they were dangerous. And again, that's why the success is more important than the style.
Stephen reports this evening that Kevin Muscat could well be in the running. Is that something that would be more favourable to you than some of the other names that have come up or not?
Oh yeah, no, I mean, but again, he's really kind of untried in Europe, isn't he? And I think, going back to Stevie Robinson, the big thing that let Russell Martin down was his press conferences and some of the things he came out and saying, like, oh, we're good in training. Stephen Robinson knows the Scottish environment, he knows the city. I think it'd be half the battle.
Do you think that is a consideration in terms of Stephen talking about managers that speak well? Is that something that you think will be under consideration for? Because Russell Martin was scrutinised for absolutely everything. Yeah. Some of it wasn't his fault, some of it could be.
Andrew, you know this show at the back of your hand, and people in Glasgow assess absolutely everything that's said and done. So press conferences and the way managers conduct themselves, they are important, because, you know, Brendan Rodgers, excellent in press conferences, and he shows leadership, he speaks well on any topic, he represents the football club well, and it endears him to the Celtic support. You know, Martin O'Neill was the same. You mentioned Martin O'Neill's now. Walter Smith was the same. I go back through, you know, Alec McLeish, Gordon Strachan, guys who can hold themselves well in a public arena. And that gives you confidence that if they can hold themselves well in a public arena, then they can hold themselves well in a private arena when they're dealing with players as well. You know, nowadays, how you conduct yourself in the public eye, how you perform in front of your supporters, is almost as important as how you perform in front of your players. I know that sounds silly, but it is really a big part of the job nowadays. You know, perception, how people acknowledge you publicly, is a big part of the job. So, I mean, I don't know. I vaguely remember Kevin Muscat as a player. I don't know how he would, you know, handle these situations. But, I mean, Stephen said they're not proven in Europe. I don't think that matters. You know, he's won the Australian League, he's won the Japanese League, he's won the Chinese League.
What also is proven in Europe for, you know, a manager that's also attainable for, you know, the Scottish Premiership? 100%. Is that quite a tough balance to strike as well?
I think he would be attainable. The Rangers might need to wait a week or two if they want to attain him. If he is indeed ahead of Danny Rowe, he's not ahead of him in the book he's running yet. But he is admired in the Rangers boardroom. I think he's 52 years of age. He's had about a 12 or 13 year coaching managerial career. He is hardened. He's shown, I'd imagine, as an English speaker, it can't be easy to go to Japan and China and deal with the media, deal with players, deal with everything, and be successful. But he's managed to do that. So I'd imagine that shows he's got a bit about him, Andrew. And if you're going to succeed at Celtic or Rangers, you need to have a bit about you.
Well, thank you to Stephen. 0141 951 1025. More of your calls next, and we'll set up a teaser for these two as well.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West, 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Still time to get your calls in on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. 0141 951 1025. You can put your points to Roger Hannah and Stephen O'Donnell. We are reflecting on Scotland's 2-1 win over Belarus last night. A lot of fans not too happy at the performances over the international break. However, it is a step closer to the World Cup. We were just seeing there on the TV Cape Verde, the latest team to qualify for the World Cup. And have Cape Verde going to the World Cup and us.
Yeah, we'll take them on in New York first.
Yeah. 0141 951 1025. You get your calls in and I will set a teaser up for these two. You know how we like our rivalries in Scottish football?
Oh, yes.
I didn't think they extended to the Clyde One Super Scoreboard full-time teaser, because you know the crazy pony who sends in a lot of the teasers to full-time at ClydeOne.com. A rivalry with the Sensible Donkey, who is also submitting teasers. So tonight's teaser comes from the crazy pony, and he wants to clarify that he is not the Sensible Donkey. He wants people to know that they're separate. They're different people.
They're in different pens.
He's written into us and he said, "Hi team, I want to debunk the myth that the Sensible Donkey and I are the same person. I am the original and best Scottish football quizzer, and the Sensible Donkey is just a wannabe. He's a Timu version of myself. I am the pony. He is the phony." It's all happening.
It's all kicking off.
Hey, see, as long as they keep submitting good questions, that's all that matters. You need it. What was the old Lionel Messi, Cristiano Ronaldo thing? Don't compare the two of them. Just enjoy them. Just enjoy them while we've got them. So this is what we've got. The crazy pony has submitted this question, and I like it. It's got a Scotland spin on it. International break since 1982. Can you name the 9 most capped outfield Scotland players with 0 international goals? So a nice caveat on that one. Since 1982, can you name the 9 most capped outfield Scotland players with 0 international goals? Silence. That's a good start.
1982 is a terrible start, considering I wasn't born till 10 years.
Alex McLeish,
top of the list. 77 caps, 0 goals.
You know how I know that? Because Craig Brown used to tell a story that when he was number 2 to Andy Roxburgh, McLeish was in the squad, and he sat him down and he said, "Who have you never scored for Scotland? You've got, what is it, 77 caps?"
Yep.
He says, "I've looked, on average we get 6 corners a game. So you've come up 462 times and you've no managed to get a header in the back of the net. Just stay back the next time."
So there he is, top of the list, Alex McLeish, 77 caps. Anything to add to that, Stephen?
I don't think he's Scott McKenna. He'll be 40 something.
Oh, he scored.
Did he score?
Yeah, Scott McKenna scored for Scotland.
Did one get mentioned earlier on? I don't remember Danny McGrain scoring for Scotland.
Danny McGrain has not scored for Scotland. 62 caps for Danny McGrain, 0 goals. We will leave that with you. We are looking for 9 answers. You've got the top 2 so far in Alex McLeish and Danny McGrain. 0141 951 1025 on the phones. Mark is a Scotland fan in Bells Hill. Mark, pleased overall with the points or concerned with performances?
Well, first of all, evening panel.
Hey, Mark.
Thanks for taking my call. I'm absolutely delighted with the points, and like the panel says, and we've all says, we would have took that. If we said that at the beginning, we'd be in 10 points. We'd be delighted. So that's the positives. For me, there's negatives, and I've backed Steve Clarke for day one for. You know, for years, even at the Euros, I was behind him. And I even thought he got it right in the Denmark Copenhagen game. I thought he got it right there. I didn't fancies there, and he got it right. So I'm not just here to slate Steve Clarke, but the last two games, I think he's got it wrong. I think the Greece game, I think it was obvious within about 5 minutes that Billy Gilmore should have been playing. He's played Christie in a holding midfielder position. When that's a position that Gilmore plays, I think that was...
It's also the position that Ryan Christie plays for Bournemouth as well, Mark, and plays very well.
I know, but...
And he scored.
I know, but for me, Gilmore fills that position much, much better for me, guys. Secondly, and this is probably my main point is, and I've got nothing against the guy at all, personally, I don't know him personally, but Kenny McLean, 52 caps for Scotland. I cannot fathom that. Now, people have said, you know what, Kenny McLean's never let us down. No, Matt Gardner's never let us down. But what's he brought to the table is the question.
I mean, scored a penalty in the Serbia shootout, got a vital goal against Norway, scored the other day as well.
Scored against Israel as well, did he not, in the penalty shootout?
So he's certainly contributed, hasn't he, Mark, over the piece?
Sorry, but you're saying that?
He certainly contributed over the piece, though, hasn't he? He's had some big moments for Scotland.
Well, see if you watch him. If you could bear it, go back and watch the game and see what he contributed last night in other games. Absolutely nothing he does. He does nothing. I'm not saying McTominay had a poor game, McGinn had a poor game, but they had poor games trying to do something. Kenny McLean does absolutely nothing. And if you go back and watch that, I would love for you to tell me what he does in a game and what he did last night.
I don't think it was probably, it wasn't Kenny's best game, but nor, as you've just said, was a lot of players are probably the full squad's best camp. But I feel that the way you've come on and how aggressive you are about it, or how heated you are, maybe not aggressive, but he has played a lot of good games for Scotland and been part of very important wins. And when I was there, I promise you can say he never did let the team down. And I think if Kenny McLean had stayed fit, he'd have been one of Steve Clarke's first picks. Because not only does he maybe doesn't get looked at as maybe the goal scorer or the creative spark. He is not meant to be that. He's meant to be the person that looks after every day in front of the back four, goes about his work diligently, looks after it when he gets it. Now, that will not get you headlines. The penalties help get him headlines, get noticed. But yes, was it his best game yesterday? In my opinion, no. But to say that he has let us down, what was the word you've used? He has been non-existent. Was that it?
He's totally non-existent.
I couldn't disagree with you more than 90% of his games.
And this is what it's about. It's a game of opinions. Yeah. And see, the thing is for me is he contributes absolutely nothing. I know McTominay made mistakes last night. He did. McGinn didn't have his best game. For me, they're playing Belarus. They're playing Belarus, and we've got almost two holding midfielders. Gilmore's not a pacey guy. He's no getting massive pace. And he's playing Kenny McLean in front of a back four against a team like Belarus, who let's face it, get beat 6-0 with Denmark and get beat 5-1 with Greece. Yeah. So he doesn't need that. We know what Kenny McLean brings. For me, he doesn't bring much. You disagree. Why not play a young guy like Lennon Miller? We know what Kenny brings. No, play, then go and play Lennon Miller. Do you know what I mean? I don't think he offers anything. If you'd be watch that game, I don't think he contributed anything. I don't think he's contributed much for a long time. And that's, we'll agree to disagree.
Is he an easier target, Roger? Because he's not Scott McTominay, who's at Napoli, who's been nominated for the Ballon d'Or, or Billy Gilmore, who looks so tidy on the ball, John McGinn, who, you know, scores so many goals for Scotland. He's a different type of midfielder, but he wouldn't have, 52 caps for Scotland and have played so often for Steve Clarke if he didn't offer anything.
Steve Clarke loves him. Steve Clarke's given him almost all of those 52 caps, and he appreciates what he does. He's not flamboyant like some of them. He doesn't score 20 goals like McGinn or stick his backside into opponents. He's not in the glamorous leagues like McTominay and Gilmore and Ferguson and Miller, but he's shown what he can do. Not everybody can be flashy front foot footballers. You need guys in those kind of midfield holding roles to give you a platform that the other guys I mentioned can then go and perform on. So I think Steve Clarke very much appreciates the job that Kenny's done over the years. Lennon Miller will go on and win maybe as many caps as Kenny McLean, maybe more caps than Kenny McLean. But I think for now, for these crucial games next month, if you were to ask Steve Clarke, 100 times out 100, he would pick Kenny McLean first.
Well, thank you to Marco, 141-951-1025. Andy is a Rangers fan in Finiston. Andy, who is on your mind when it comes to Rangers managerial hunt? Is it still Steven Gerrard? Looking back over the weekend, is it another name cropping up for you that you'd like to see?
How are you doing, guys? Aye. I was saying the producer, I was a wee bit still. I was wanting Gerrard to come because last time he was here, one of my neighbours was Gary McAllister, and he's a gentleman who's very nice. He used to talk to him about every other week. But the problem is, I don't know who's going to come in, But see, when he does, I was saying as well that he need to, the new manager needs to change the formation, give the players, you know, a formation that they're a lot more comfortable with, and start playing the players in the right position. Because Russell Martin, sometimes you're going, before you've seen the team, is he playing Wajowski and Gold and Butland up front? You know what I mean? But just to give the players, because you can see the players weren't comfortable the way he wanted them to play.
Yeah, I mean, any manager that comes in is going to want to implement their own style. Yeah. They're going to have to do it with the players that were recruited in the summer, though. Is that an issue, or is there a squad of players that can be successful, do you feel?
If you look at them on paper, you think there's a lot of decent players through there. You know, Nico Raskin starting for Belgium in a World Cup qualifier tonight. He started against North Macedonia the other night, and Bojan Miovski was starting for them. You know, Cornelius was away playing for Canada. You've had Suter playing for Scotland. You know, right through the squad is international players. I think Oliver Antman played against the Netherlands the other night. So
Telo Asgard's been part of a very successful Norway team.
I think Bajrami was involved. Albania won in Serbia. So on paper, a lot of good players. What will finally damn Russell Martin is if the next manager, whoever that is, comes in the next week or two and suddenly transforms this group of players into a winning machine. That would really not have linked well on Russell Martin. So I think the manager needs to come in quickly. I think he needs to get a handle on the squad. They will undoubtedly need reinforcements in January. I think they'll maybe need to get a few players out the door in January as well. And long term, they need to do away with a lot of these loans, Andrew. Half a dozen loan players going back to their clubs. And they need to get something in place where not many players are falling out of contract. You know, you've got John Suter contract situation still lying unresolved as well. I think of the six first-choice defenders who have played and rotated this season, two are out of contract and four are on loan. That doesn't lead to long-term stability or progress for Rangers. So things like that need to get looked at as well.
Can things just sometimes click, Stephen, when things have been going so badly for a team and there is that, you know, refresh and the management team leaves and a new management team comes in? I know there'll be a number of factors, but can there sometimes be that release that players sometimes need just to get back to their best?
Look, I think sometimes there can be, but also sometimes it can just be the players aren't good enough. And you won't really find that out until the next manager comes in, and if he maybe makes a lot of changes to then it's obviously an obvious sign that he didn't think they were good enough, or a real change in structure and how they want to play, because he's come in and maybe feels that they can't perform the way Russell Martin wanted them to. Because there's no doubt Russell Martin had an idea how he wanted the game to be played. I said before I was excited to see how he done. I did not expect it to end like this. But the next manager has will have some time, because he needs to get it, because he won't have any of his own players in the building. But to find a way to get results for Rangers is the most important thing just now, and how that comes across will determine whether people think the players are good or it was the manager.
Who should the next manager be, Andy?
That's a boring problem. I don't really know. I've not really got a favourite. Maybe the boys are talking about, what would you call him, Danny Rowe, I'm not sure. I think Muscat will come, because he's still got a lot of, Roger was saying earlier on, he's got a lot of games to play abroad, so I don't really know. But the other thing I'm worried about now is, see, the players are training just now, but I wonder what kind of, you know, formation they're practicing. Who's you know, whoever, was it Roy Smith that's taking them there?
Yeah, Stephen Smith, you know, Brian Gilmore. There's also Reece Owen, who was the head of performance that was brought in at the same time as Russell Martin. Sal Bibble, the goalkeeping coach that was brought in as well over the summer. Is that a strange period, Stephen? Because they've not officially been announced as the next interim team, because I think Rangers and the hierarchy expected that they would have someone in place for this Dundee United game on Saturday. Stephen Smith will probably now be preparing the team for Dundee United, just in case he is the man that's going to have to take them.
I think that is not an ideal scenario, because ideally it'd have been Stephen Smith the caretaker until further notice, which kind of gives a clarity around it. It's going to be the next couple of games. Obviously they were going for Gerrard, I imagine. He's knocked it back, so they thought he'd maybe be in. So for Stephen Smith, it makes it awkward, because he would have been right, well, I'm not really planning for a game, because he'll have a different approach, and he's someone that's coaching. He'll be obviously at some point thinking, can I be a manager? Do I want to be a manager? he would have had his ideas and shape and what he would have felt, but he'd have probably not done any of it because he wasn't thinking he was getting the job.
And the thing, the problem we have now is, as Pedro Cascina once said, the caravan keeps moving. So it's not just in Dundee United on Saturday. They just go to Norway next week to play Brann in the Europa League. They're then home to Kilmarnock. Then they're at Hibs in the midweek. And then they've got a Premier Sports Cup semi-final, Stephen, against Celtic at Hampden Park on the 1st of November. That's five games in a sort of 15 or 16 day spell. Stephen Smith might become an important member of the Rangers staff.
No, certainly. And again, I think that's where he would... I would imagine anyone that takes that role would want to be given the tools possible to have the best opportunity of performing well. And I think him not getting given it, like, immediately would have probably told him he wasn't getting it for the next game. As it approaches, it looks like he could be. And yeah, I hope him all the best. I played with Stephen, got on well with him. But it'll be a tough ask because, again, there is lots of problems with the performances that Rangers have had. So how does he approach? Does he wrap it up? Does he try and go direct, or what's his philosophy in it? It'll be really interesting to see if he has the job on Saturday.
Thank you to Andy. More answers needed on this teaser. Since 1982, can you name the nine most capped outfield Scotland players with zero international goals so far? You have Alex McLeish, 77 caps, Danny McGrain, 62 caps.
I'm just going to go for ones that I can't remember scoring for Scotland. Mm-hmm. How about Maurice Malpass?
Third on the list. You're doing them in order, which is quite impressive. Maurice Malpass, 55 caps.
That's not a bad shout.
Presley?
Stephen Presley, correct. He is seventh on the list with 32 caps. I'll take one more.
Well,
you've got
take
it.
Me then, O'Donnell.
No.
So therefore 26 is above then. It's
you
above.
Just miss the cut. And now that you've got that sort of idea of where you're looking at, I will leave you with that. 0141 951 1025. More of your calls next.
The Pundit Predictor with McNair's Building Supplies. Try McNair's for your next building, roofing or gardening project.
Yeah, if you think you know your football better than our pundits, you have the chance to prove it every Friday on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Simply guess the result of three SPFL games and you could win the cash on Pundit Predictor. Last Friday, Kenny only guessed one correct result from Saturday's championship matches, meaning he lost out on £800. But that's good news for you because it rolls over another £100 added to the pot and you could win £900 on Friday. Play every Friday night on Clyde One Super Scoreboard, thanks to McNair's Building Supplies. Right, we need some answers on this teaser. Since 1982, if I can find the right bit of paper. Since 1982, can you name the nine most capped outfield Scotland players with zero international goals? You've got Alex McLeish, Danny McGrain, Maurice Malpass and Stephen Presley.
This is great teamwork. I go for all the old guys and Stephen goes for the young team.
Mm-hmm.
Colin Calderwood.
It's not great teamwork at all.
No.
Incorrect.
I don't remember.
Well, I'm going to say, I thought Gary Naismith?
No, not on the list either.
The other one was Greg Taylor as a young one. I think he'd have more caps than you think.
I reckon he's probably similar to you on caps.
That's
Greg Taylor.
I think he'll have fewer caps than you.
Yeah. See, I thought he'd have had more because.
Either way, he is wrong.
I'm going to go back to France 98. I don't remember these guys going. Tosh McKinley?
No.
Met a fewer caps. So Jackie McNamara?
Correct. There we go. 33 caps for Jackie McNamara. No goals. Any more answers?
What
four
about,
more to get.
What about the current 21s captain, Scott Gemmell?
No.
Manager, I should say. No. Couldn't possibly be Russell Martin, could it?
It could possibly be Russell Martin on 29 caps and zero goals. He is ninth on the list of
and
nine.
The only other one, and I think he's got the same caps as you, Alan Hansen.
Alan Hansen, no. Incorrect. We have three more answers
Steve
to get.
McManus.
We will get them. Stephen McManus.
Oh, he scored against Liechtenstein in the 127th minute.
Incorrect. Right, we will get more answers next. Justin is a Rangers fan up next. Justin, how are you feeling about the Rangers managerial situation?
Losing the will to live, honestly. it's
you want to try working for a newspaper and a radio station, Justin?
Samaritans was my next call. You were the first ones up, so... I've been having a debate with a group of friends that we go to the football together, the Curry Club, and I'm getting absolute pelters because, from my point of view, a lot of them weren't sure about Gerrard in the first place, one title in nine and all that kind of aspect. But for me, I've come on and said this before, for me, the Rangers manager is more than just what you've done before at other clubs. I think there's a lot more to it than that. It's been proven the last few Rangers managers have struggled to handle the pressure of what the badge, what the club, what the expectation holds for the person that's in it. It takes a special kind of person to be involved in the Old Firm or succeed in the Old Firm, whether you're a player or a manager. And I'm looking at the list of candidates, let's say, right, that Rangers are looking at after, you know, being turned down by Gerrard, or Gerrard not looking to take it for whatever reason. And the analogy that I gave to him was, it's like a guy that's been dumped in a night out with his girlfriend, that's just looking to get home with somebody, anybody. It looks like panic and desperation. No.
You do realise Gordon Dale's not in the show tonight, Justin?
Well, fair point. He would have probably been able to answer that, Melon Mace, but it reeks of desperation and amateurish, because it's almost as if they're leaking names to the press to test what the fans are like. What's their reaction to this one? What's their reaction to that one?
I wish they did do that. It would make my job an awful lot easier each day. I could just put another name in the paper.
But for me, the only person that has got that ticks all of the boxes the same way sort of Gerrard did, from a stature point of view, from a respect point of view, from a coaching ability point of view, that could, I think could handle that big club mentality, would be Lampard. And I don't know if you guys know or are aware if Lampard's been approached or if his name's genuinely in the fray. But I just look at the ones that are there for Muscat, Rowe, everything else, and it looks like bargain basement stuff. I think all of them that are there would be a Martin 2.0 for me. I just don't see it in any of them. It just looks like short term mentality, and I think the next manager that we're going to have, we're going to be stuck with for a while. So I just don't see it in any of them. I don't know what you guys think yourselves, but
I think it becomes, sadly, the market that Celtic and Rangers are in, is you're looking for like maybe a high calibre manager who's maybe getting a bit older or been lost a couple of jobs, but had a previous track record, because like obviously Rodgers had an amazing manager for Celtic but had lost the Liverpool job, been out of work, had obviously done well at Swansea before that. It's that market is kind of awkward. Lampard, I don't think for a minute is going to come to Rangers, and I don't mean that as, I think how big a club Celtic and Rangers are.
In current circumstances,
he's at Coventry. They're doing really, really well. He'll be thinking he can get a Premier League club if he keeps this up, or he will be in the Premier League with Coventry. And I just think that's a market that Scottish football can't really attract, that kind of that edge. McKenna that was mentioned, I know you didn't mention McKenna, but McKenna was mentioned early, sitting ninth with Ipswich. Maybe, because they're maybe mid-table now, you could maybe entice them, but even then, it's difficult, new contracts and stuff. I thought the one that ticked your boxes was Muscat, because he'd been at Rangers, and maybe the fact that he'd been around the club when they were, say, more successful, I don't mean that as horrible as it sounds, but part of a treble team, would maybe give him that, like, he knows what the club's about, he knows the stature, he knows the fans, the expectation. So that might have helped him with that, because I do agree with you. I think it's an important part how big the club is and how you need to manage that.
Well, thank you to Justin. That was a quick show. We are running out of time. We need to get answers right on this teaser. Since 1982, can you name the 9 most capped outfield Scotland players with 0 international goals, like Alex McLeish, Danny McGrain, Maurice Malpass, Jackie McNamara, Stephen Presley and Russell Martin? More to get.
What about Stevie's own mother will manage? Graham Alexander.
Graham Alexander, correct.
I didn't think he'd tip penalties, no.
Yeah, at club level, but not international level.
Callum Davidson,
no. You are looking for defenders. Think about your position, Stephen.
The right backs.
Yep.
Callum Parsons.
No.
Oh, going back 3 years now.
Alan Hutton, correct.
Alan Hutton didn't score.
And think who was also another Scotland Rangers right back.
Morris Ross?
No.
He didn't play. Stephen Whitaker.
Yes, Stephen Whitaker is correct. Thank you to Roger Hanna and to Stephen O'Donnell. Thank you to you at home. And it is Gordon DL and Marvin Bartley on tomorrow. We'll see you from 6 until 8.